Thanks, Karen. Karen Owens from Karen's Kitchen. I'm Chris.
And I'm Rob.
I turn your mic up there. Try again. I'm Chris.
And I'm Rob.
And together we are the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show.
Wow. Talk about a big show right off the bat. It doesn't get any bigger. The whole show will be downhill from now as soon as we get rid of this guest.
A friend of mine just came back from Africa on an African safari hunting wild game, but not with a gun, with a camera. And that would be one Buddy Hackett. Hello, Buddy.
How are you? Who's that, Chris or Rob?
This is Chris.
And I'm Rob.
Hiya, Chris and Rob.
Hiya, buddy. Now tell us, you just got back from Africa?
Yeah, last night.
Well, what did you do in Africa all month?
Well, I was there for about 5 weeks, 6 weeks. My wife always wanted to go. She's a photographer. She's a real good photographer. She's got a lot of stuff printed. And she wanted to shoot the animals, you know. She wanted to get pictures of the animals, and I always did, you know, always wanted to avoid going. I don't know. I always thought I'm going to get sick or I'm going to eat some bugs there and I'm going to get the turista, you know, where you get the steady jungle trots and it kills you eventually. I thought I would be dead. I'd never live through it.
But you made it home alive, didn't you?
Not only that, it was very beautiful and very well done. I met some of the nicest people. And if I tell you that we were in a vehicle called a Range Rover, which held about 8 people, and it's tiered, you know?
Bigger than the love bug?
Pardon?
It was bigger than the love bug?
Didn't have a love bug.
Okay.
I guess you don't want to hear the story, right?
Yeah, no, bring it on.
Are you going to keep doing that then?
No.
It's because that's why Merv Griffin went off the air, because he kept interrupting. Anyway, it's tiered, it's open, there's no roof, and you come up close enough to the lions. Now, the driver has no door on his side. It's open. At one point, a huge male lion came, walked on, and lied down. If he had put his hand outside the vehicle, he could have touched it. That's how close you are. And there were 19 lions. In one night, we saw 13 male elephant, one in back of the other, and then the 19 lions starting out for their nightly hunt. It was unbelievable, and some people said there's people come to safari year in, year out, and never get to see any of that. We just lucky. We saw, there's a thing called the Big Five.
Mm-hmm.
The Big Five is the elephant, the rhino, the Cape buffalo,
okay,
the leopard, and the lion. And we got to see them all.
Wow.
Now there's another place there called the Ark. And it's a building. You go in on a small airplane. We went in on a two-seater. Or you can drive for 8-9 hours or something like that. Anyway, we went in. And each room has a window like Noah's Ark. And they have big floodlights on a water hole where all the animals, you hope they will, come to drink. And they ring bells in your room in the middle of the night. 3 bells, elephant. 4 bells, leopard. 5 bells, lion. And we saw so many Cape buffalo, I couldn't believe it. And there was one just lay down in the mud. And when he got up, he was almost white from the mud. And I said, what a great ad for Revlon. Say, we have makeup for every occasion. So I'm going to send that to the head of Revlon when she gets that printed up.
So did your wife get some good pictures?
Oh, she shot 3,600 pictures.
Now, before you left for Africa, did you say, honey, isn't the San Diego Zoo good enough for you? Because they got the same animals there.
Well, it's a little different. Although the San Diego Zoo is really quite magnificent.
And you can get us.
You ever been there?
No, never been there.
Okay, you get on a train. And the train goes through almost like the Serengeti. They got lots and lots of land, and the animals are running free. In fact, some animals are prey for the other animals. Like, you hear about seeing impala. In Africa, we saw, at one point, 500 impala went by. And then we saw a cheetah make a kill on a young impala and bring it back to her cubs, or kits as they call them. And then later on that same day, we saw a leopard who had already made a kill of an impala, and her and her two cubs were eating on it. And it's just unbelievable. You know, you're just watching the way the life takes place there, and it all seems cruel because animals, you know, it's the food chain.
Kind of like Hollywood.
Yeah. If you went walking, you become part of it. In this place, there's one place called Sangita. And if anybody's listening and can afford that kind of trip, I would say the only one to go to is Sangita in South Africa, where you go into Johannesburg and then take a private plane into that strip. Or you can drive it, which the drive would take you 7-8 hours. You go through the wine country of South Africa and get there eventually. But we hired a little plane and came in. And first you have to buzz the field. Now the field, you must understand, it's nothing as you would understand an airfield. It's only clay. And there's no lights or anything. There's sometimes there's a windsock. And the guy goes down and he buzzes the field first, because animals like to come and lie out in the sun there without the foliage overhead, and then you have to get them off, and then you land. It's an experience that you can't believe. This place, Sangita, you pull into the front, and there's a beautiful lobby, like a hotel lobby, but all polished logs, and then the fabric that's woven by the Maasai women who... If you go to Maasai Village, there was one. In fact, there was one boy, 17 years old, who had gone to school, and he is now... My wife asked him if he wants enough paper and pencils to teach the other 60 children how to read and write. So that's her mission now, because it's easy to get enough money to send it, but will it be delivered? Everything is so strange there. Some people, they say they work in a post office. They take a whole truckload of mail of stuff and go right to the recycle with it. So, you know, until you've been someplace as primitive as that is, even though it's very advanced from what it was, you've got to appreciate this country. You've got to go do stuff like that just to appreciate where we are.
We're talking to Buddy Hackett on the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show, back fresh from a trip in Africa. Now, is there any place else your wife wants to go next to take some more pictures, maybe South America or Australia?
On the way back, we went through Argentina, and we stayed in Buenos Aires for 5 days.
You are quite the globetrotter.
Yeah, we did that, and on the way then from Buenos Aires, we went to Miami, and we were there 5 days. And because when you get on a plane, you know, especially at my age, I'm 73 years old, and you travel 8,000 miles in one shot, you know, your body is hollering for help.
Of all those places you just mentioned you went, Miami's probably the most dangerous.
Well, we were in a place called Palm Beach Gardens, and that's not so dangerous as parts of Miami, which is the real rough part is around the airport.
Do they know who Buddy Hackett is in Africa?
Some people did. In fact, we were at a place called Masai Mara, and there was one guy who, I guess he was a movie buff, and he'd been to university, and he saw all Buddy Hackett pictures one way or another. Some of the movies, that's all they know. They don't know anything about the nightclubs, you know, and where I really made a living. But they did see Herbie, as you mentioned earlier, and Mad World, and Music Man, and a lot of movies that they still show.
What was your biggest hit in Africa?
Pardon?
What was your biggest hit? What was this guy's favorite movie?
Oh, Herbie the Love Bug was the biggest hit all over the world.
Yeah.
Every country we went to, they knew me from Herbie the Love Bug.
Yeah.
And not until they hear me talk. They didn't know. They look at me, I look a little different, you know. It's 30 years ago. But as soon as I start to talk, they said they knew me from. And, of course, we were on a ship in the Seychelles Islands for 6 days, and there's a lot of German tourists and some Americans, and so everybody on the ship, you know, there were about 250 people, they all knew me, so.
Were you in Africa over the New Year's Eve holiday?
No, New Year's Eve I was on a ship in the middle of the Indian Ocean with a big moon overhead, and I'm looking at my watch with my wife on the deck outdoors in this moonlight and warm, balmy evening, and waiting to give her a midnight kiss, and I'm looking at my watch. And suddenly the ship whistle went off, and another ship whistle farther out, and that was New Year's Eve, and we kissed and had a glass of champagne, and it was very beautiful.
Well, that's great.
Now, the Seychelles Islands is like Hawaii must have been 100 years ago. It's not very built up. The people are the friendliest, warmest, nicest people. Every place was... The people were marvelous. Everywhere we went. All over Africa, South Africa, Kenya. And Kenya, I was at Mount Kenya Safari Club, the one that William Holden built with a man named Ray Ryan. They were both friends of mine. And there they had an orphanage for animals. And there was a cute little thing. There was a man who was the guide through the orphanage. He must have been in his 30s and he'd been working there since he was 11. He started as a guide when he was 11 years old, and that's what he's doing. And those animals, they love them. They're in cages, but they can get out. One little monkey called a Columbus monkey. He came over to my wife. He took her hand and walked with her. Now there was a great big... a pig called a bush pig. It must weigh 300-400 pounds. And they got him when he was a baby. And his name is Casey. They raised him by hand and hand fed him. And then when he got mature, they sent him out into the wild, you know, to be his life. He broke back into that, to the cage part. And he goes right to his cage. Now they say to him, Casey, want to go out in the bush? He goes right into the little house and lays down.
He's incorrigible.
Yeah, he don't want to do it. So I finally did get sick right there at the Kenya Club. And there was a doctor. He came from about 50 miles away or 40 miles away. And he was really good because he understood what the things that you catch when you're on those things, you know. And he had all the drugs with him, and we were almost ready to cancel the trip. We were only halfway through, and he fixed me up in a couple of days, so that was wonderful. We had all my fears and fancies disappeared, and the beauty of it all. I mean, getting woke up in the morning, and you're living in a tent, but it has a cement floor, and it has a bath and toilet facilities inside the tent, you know.
Where do you find a tent with a cement floor and a bathtub?
Yeah, but it's all tents.
Yeah.
And then they shut off the electricity for 7 hours a day because they can't handle it all. But then right in the front is a river, and your alarm clock in the morning are the hippopotamus. Suddenly, at 5:30, you hear, never heard cloud noises.
Well, if you live at Rob's house, sometimes you hear that in the morning when Rob wakes up.
Is that right?
That's right.
Now, I heard that more people die from hippopotamus than almost any other animal each
year. That's right. They're very territorial, and people think they're... Because the name is water horse, you know, and people think that, you know, they only eat vegetation and all, but they weigh 4,000 pounds, and if you go near them, they're just... They can open them big mouths or punch you with one of them foots, and that's it. It's over.
So did you catch the white African rhinoceros? I know you said you saw the big 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 out there.
Yeah, I saw the...
They're a very endangered species.
We saw the white rhino.
Yeah.
We didn't see the black rhino. The white rhino is the more prevalent, and he's called a white rhino. The white is a mutilation of the word wide for a wide mouth. So they just made it white. But it's for wide.
Did you see any conservation efforts on behalf of the black rhino and other endangered species in Africa?
Yes. The people there who go after poachers,
mm-hmm.
if they find a poacher, They don't lock them up. There's no trial. They kill them right on the spot.
Right on.
Wow.
That's it. You can't believe it. I mean, justice there is... There's no trials. There's no delays. There's no... You couldn't make a TV series out of that. There he is. He's out there after the rhino. Boom, shoot him, and they just leave him there. They don't even bring him in. He becomes carrion.
That would make an interesting episode of Cops.
Yeah, except it's over in a minute. In 1 minute, it's over. You know, it's...
Hey, you know why the rhino horn is supposed to be an aphrodisiac? Did they mention that to you?
Yes, of course. That's why they kill him, just to cut off that horn. And the horn is only made out of flesh and hair. It's not bone.
Yeah, but a rhino can make love for, like, 3 hours at a time. That's why they think the rhino horn's an aphrodisiac.
I didn't know that.
Is that true?
Because rhinos are crazy. When they make love, they make love. I mean, they
make love.
For a real long time.
With an L-U-V.
That's why
when the lions become in heat, the lion makes it with one of the females once every 45 minutes for 20 seconds. And then he goes on to another one. And he does that for 18, 19, 20 hours in a row. So he don't go out on a hunt. They go out on a hunt. He's just laying there trying to get his strength back.
He just lays under a tree smoking a big lion cigarette.
That's what he does. That's what he does. Yeah. And after a while, when they get a little older, she says to him, Leo, look at your mane. It's all matted. Why don't you go over to the thorn bush and comb it out?
Did you get a chance to do any shows while you're in Africa, or was it purely a vacation?
No, I'm not going to be doing any shows. I worked at Trump's the night before I left on this trip. I was in Trump's Atlantic City, and a 1,000 people standing up with a standing ovation. I said, you know, I want to thank you. I had a long, wonderful career, and I'm going to remember you just the way you are, because I don't think I'm going to do this anymore.
How is Donald?
Donald's a nice man.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, he really is.
Next time you see him, tell him we said hello.
I knew his father very well.
Did you?
When I first come out of the Army, that's in World War II, his father built apartments in Brooklyn. And I rented an apartment for $72 a month. And I had a partner in the apartment, a guy named Marvin Worth. We paid $36 a piece. We had a one room with a little Venetian blind over all the kitchen utilities. And... Then there was a big closet and a nice bath, but the big was just a studio apartment. And Marvin Worth is the man who produced Malcolm X and Lenny and a lot of stuff. So we all went to the same high school. Another boy who lived there, too, was Arnie Sultan. He had an apartment next door. And Arnie Sultan is the guy who produced and wrote Get Smart.
Wow.
And then we had a fourth guy who stayed with Arnie, and his name was Lenny Bruce.
I heard of him.
Yeah, so the four of us all hung together. And how we met Lenny Bruce is I was working in a club in Connecticut with a lady comic who said, my son is coming out of Merchant Marine. Could you help him get started in show business? I said, Sally, I'm making $45 a week. Who could I help? I'll be his friend. And that was Lenny, and I was his friend. His name was Lenny Snyder. And then we became friends, and then Marvin became his agent and manager. There's a lot of stuff leads from one thing to another, doesn't it?
Sure sounds like that.
Yeah.
So you retired from the stage, buddy. What was the last joke you told that night at Trump's?
I can't remember that, honestly.
You just wing it off the top of your head?
No, there's a lot of stuff I remember, but I do, each time I go out, I try to make sure that if you saw me 3 nights in a row, I usually do about an hour and a half on the stage. If you see me 3 nights in a row, you saw at least 30, 40 brand new minutes every show. Every show. So that's why it's a lot of pressure, because if you just go out and recite what you know, it's pretty easy. But I couldn't handle that.
You want to lay a joke on us before we let you go for the night?
Oh.
You know, it's late night radio here. You don't have to do that clean stuff.
I only have the one joke, I think. I mean, I know a lot of them, but I can't remember them too good. Because I'm nearly not in that mode now. But did you hear about the lady who took the dog to the vet?
No, I didn't.
And she said, he makes believe he's dead. The vet put his ear thing on. He says, he is dead. She says, no, he makes believe. He says, this dog is dead, lady. He's 18 years old. I've been treating him a long time. He says, watch. He went and got a cat, and he put a cat on the dog's head. The dog didn't move. He put the cat under the dog. The dog didn't move. He says, I guess you're right. The dog's dead. What I owe you, he says, $330. It's $30 for me and $300 for the cat scan.
Thanks a lot, Buddy Hackett.
All right.
We'll call you back again soon because I understand you have a very interesting chili recipe to lay on us.
Well, if I get a hold of it, and if I knew when you were calling, I'd have it handy. But or else, if you guys send me a letter, I'm sure you'll find where to send it to. Somebody will send you a copy of the recipe.
Our people will call your people will call our people back, and we'll get that recipe on the air.
Okay, pal.
Thanks, buddy.
God bless you, and God bless all your listeners, and to all the people in Cincinnati area. I worked there the first time in 1947.
Would that have been at the Emory?
At the Emory Auditorium in a show called Call Me Mister.
Call Me Mister Buddy Hackett.
Yeah.
All right, thanks a lot.
All right.
Be talking to you soon.
Good night.
Buddy Hackett on the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show.
He couldn't get off the phone quick enough.
We kept interrupting him like Merv Griffin.
You have absolutely no respect for the legends, for the giants, for the those who've made the country great.
We'll be back in a minute. The phone number is 749-1444. If you want to tell us about your African safari or your chili recipe, we'll be back in a minute. The Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show.
Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show. The Cincinnati Drug and Poison Information Center is open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, to give you the information you need when an accidental poisoning occurs. Last year, over 136,000 people called us. They had our number. Do you? 558-5111, 558-5111 for the Cincinnati Drug and Poison Information Center. And you want to know why we mention that now?
Poison and information?
Yes.
Why?
Because we're going to talk about haggis.
Wait, isn't haggis a traditional Scottish recipe?
Yes, it sure is.
Well, let me get my traditional Scottish music ready to go. here's a little traditional Scottish recipe from my co-host, Rob.
This is according to USA Today, so take it with a pinch of salt. Okay, this is how you make haggis. You gotta go to
How do you spell haggis?
H-A-G-G-I-S.
Haggis.
Probably haggis.
If you're Scottish, it's haggis. Well, us Americans will call it haggis.
Okay, it starts off pretty straightforward. You need the stomach, the heart, the liver, the kidneys, and the lungs of a sheep.
You need
some
gizzards?
You need some salt. You need some black, white, and cayenne pepper. You need some nutmeg. A couple onions. You want to chop them up. 6 ounces of toasted oatmeal. See, it's health food. 1 pound of beef suet and...
What's beef suet?
Beef suet. It's like juice or something. And 3/4 of a pint stock.
What's stock?
That's like when you boil stuff and you have the water
it's
left over.
It's that fatty stuff that's left over. It's like grease. Ugh.
I was like, hey, man, how do you think chicken soup is made out of?
All right, but that's chicken soup. That's good.
All right. Anyway, you wash the stomach.
Soup is good food.
You wash the stomach with... See, you can't let anyone talk. Me, Buddy Hackett, it doesn't matter. You got to interrupt. Can you be quiet for 30 seconds? Wash the stomach with cold water, turning it inside out and scraping well.
Ugh. What are you going to do with the scrapings?
Put them on Ritz. Boil the heart, liver, kidneys, and lungs until tender.
You know, I heard if you take a magic marker and rub it all over the Ritz cracker, it says S-E-X on it.
You want to hang the windpipe over the edge of a pan so it drains into a bowl.
But that ain't nothing. If you take a black marker and rub it all over a Triscuit, you can see female genitalia.
Chop meat very finely and grate the liver. Add salt, pepper, nutmeg, onions, and soot in the oatmeal.
Ugh.
Mix well with stock and
it's
fill
the... It's got oatmeal in it, too.
I told you it's got oatmeal. It's health food. Mix well with stock and fill the stomach, making sure to leave room for the oatmeal to swell. Sew up. Prick all over with the needle and put into boiling water for 3 hours. When done, place on a hot plate, slit open, and serve with mashed turnips and taters.
Who in the hell invented it? You know,
it doesn't sound so bad except for that oatmeal. I mean, I can just taste the cream of wheat in the back of my throat right now.
The thing is, you gotta wonder about who does stuff first. You know, who's the first person to smoke a cigarette, to chop up a tobacco real fine and smoke it, because smoke is always a negative experience. It makes you cough, it makes you hack. Who's the first person to smoke a cigarette? You gotta wonder. At the same time, you gotta wonder who it was that cleaned the stomach of a sheep, chopped up the heart, liver, kidneys, and lungs, and then put them inside the stomach, sewed it up, added an onion and salt, and then stuck it with a pin, and then put them boiling water for 3 hours.
Well, whoever the first person to think of that was, I can never get over the idea that somebody, somewhere back in the prehistory of mankind, invented beer, probably even before the Egyptians. And how is beer made? Somebody had to discover that, right? So let's say you got a little wheat in a bowl or something, right? It's a manna from heaven sitting in a little bowl. Then it rains, right? It rains and that bowl fills up with water, and it sits there for about 6 weeks. And then somebody says, hey guys, let's drink this. And then they get loaded. What was going through their minds when they drank that?
What kind of Cro-Magnon Martha Stewart is inventing haggis? Yeah. Let's talk to Nan. What's going on, Nan?
Well, who the heck would take rhino aphrodisiac? Who would want to eat something made out of herringbone? Anyway, let's go on to the next question. Was that Chiquita Banana singing, my daughter and I want to buy the whole damn CD?
That was Yuma Sumac.
Who? Yuma Sumac?
Yeah, you want me to spell it for you?
Y-U-M-A?
No, just Y-M-A. Just Y-M-A.
Okay.
And then Sumac, S-U-M-A-C, Sumac.
Okay. That really is her name, huh?
Yuma Sumac. Yeah, she's an old singer from the 50s.
We think Mariah Carey would be jealous.
Probably. Mariah Carey ain't got nothing.
I gave you a big plug today at Phil's Tapes and CDs.
And what were you doing at Phil's Tapes and CDs, and what kind of a plug did you give to the Chris and Rob late night talk show?
That's exactly what I told them. Well, I'll tell you what. I went there to buy Tina Turner's new tape. And there was a poster of a guy and the Pullman. And anyway, a guy, he was bald, he had all these earrings, and he was pulling a train with something with his teeth. And the guy said, it's a great CD, but nobody will play it. And I said, hey, if you call Chris and Rob on the late night show, they'll play it for you.
We'll play almost anything.
Have you ever heard of that one, the Pullman?
No, I have not.
Okay. I've heard of Pullman Porters.
Okay, well, anyway, On the cover of the CD is a guy, a bald guy with earrings and tattoos, pulling a train with his teeth. Hmm. And the guy said it was a cool CD, but nobody would play it in the radio. And I said, hey, I got a couple.
And is it like punk rock or something?
I don't know.
It's got a lot of swearing on it?
No. He said it was just really good music. And so I said, I know a guy who'll play. I said, Chris and Rob, two trippy guys, they'll play it for you.
Two trippy guys. That's us. Thanks for cutting that promo for us.
So anyway, I told him to give you a call. And I said, you'd play it.
Well, we'll be watching for that call from Phil's Records and Tapes then.
Guess where I was last night?
Where were you last night?
3 hours of Boot, Scoot, and Boogie. I did the Honky Tonk Twist, the Electric Slide, and the Swamp Thing. I went country line dancing. My first lessons, it was a hoot.
Let me get some country line dancing.
Okay.
All right.
Do it.
The lull in the show is caused by Chris's insistence on changing the mood music each and every time a different topic is introduced.
This is the way you do the honky tonk twist. You swivel your heels. Oh, cool.
Well, tell us all about your country line dancing experience, man.
You do the great bad left with a right stomp and you clap. And then you swivel your feet, and it's really cute. And I had a lot of fun.
And then you clap?
You clap.
Right.
And you slide left and you scuff right. And it's an interesting little dance.
Now, when you were doing this dance, were you thinking in your back of my mind, it takes all kinds?
Yeah, because there were a lot of men there with no chins.
Wow, no chins, huh?
No chins. But they grow a lot of facial hair to make up for that.
Big belt buckles?
Yeah. And I'm a short one. I'm a petite gal, so, you know, I hate to dance with a man with a belt buckle hits me right in the nose.
Okay, listen, Nan, since you're plugging your favorite record store, we're going to plug ours. Wizard Records and Tapes. It's located in the heart of Coryville, across the street from Bogart's. You can find anything you want at Wizard Records, and we're gonna give you a couple of CDs from Wizards. What do you say?
Oh, thanks a lot. I like Bogart's.
Oh, my gosh. You get the new album by Bjork, spelled B-J-O-R-K.
Oh, my God. They're going to give us Bjork. She loves her.
Oh, my God. And you also get a CD by the Bloodhound Gang, The Bloodhound Gang? They're kind of like the Beastie Boys, but more raw.
Oh, Beastie Boys.
They have a song called I Wish I Was Queer So I Could Get Chicks.
You want to say hi to my gorgeous daughter?
If she's queer.
Hey, this album contains adult lyrics, okay?
Well, I'll let her listen. Here, say hi. Okay.
He uses the F word a lot.
I am very adult, and I can handle any lyrics she can do.
Hey, why aren't you in bed? Aren't you supposed to go to school tomorrow?
Well, you know, I like to stay up late with Mom.
And catch the Chris and Rob show.
Listen to you guys, because I never listen to this station.
So do you and Mom sit up late and drink hot coffee black and pop a big bowl of microwave popcorn and turn on the old transistor and catch the Chris and Rob late night talk show together?
You have cameras.
Oh, my God.
You have fucked. I know. Mom said you guys were watching us.
Just for being a couple of young, hip, cute chicks calling us up, you're going to win these two CDs. We got Telegram by Bjork without the cover artwork.
Hey, let me tell you what. I've been crazy about Bjork since her debut album and since Sugar Cubes, too, back when she was with them. So
oh, my God. Awesome. She was in a band before that, but I forget their name.
I'm so excited.
She's so excited.
She was on a band before Sugar Cubes.
Yeah, and I forget their name. I could find out, but I forget.
Everybody was in a band.
I'm so young. You know, I mean,
but listen, we're also going to give you a CD by a band called the Bloodhound Gang.
I know I love the Beastie Boys and I love Sabotage.
Well, these guys are a little more, let's just say raw.
All right, I like that.
The first song in the album is called Kiss Me Where It Smells Funny.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God, she says. So there you go. Wizard Records, do you know where it's at? It's located in Coryville.
Let me tell you what. I'll find it, and I'll go there all the time now. It's across from Bogart's?
From Bogart's.
Hey, I'll be there.
So you just won two CDs there, Nan and Nan. What's your first name, daughter?
Christy.
Okay, Nan and Christy. I'll catch you guys later.
Thank you so much.
Oh, bye-bye.
Bye. We love you guys.
Oh, my God, that was neat. That was neat. Okay, there. Congratulations to them. This is the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show. I'm Chris and he's Rob.
Hey, Christy, call back in on 961-8900. We need to give you a secret special code word.
Okay, there you go. The regular phone lines are open at the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show at the following digits. 749-1444. That's 7491-444, and we're awaiting another call on the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show.
Probably a bogus person.
Now, do you ever get those calls in the middle of the afternoon or sometimes even in the middle of the nights, somebody calling in saying, hello, is this the man or woman of the house? We have magazine subscriptions and carpet. We're in your neighborhood cleaning carpets, and we'd love to know if we could stop by and clean your carpet.
Well, a telemarketer in Oklahoma City, who goes by the name Suanna Jones, she was calling homes in the area for the complete carpet cleaning in on last Thursday, when she decided to quit calling all the numbers under the heading R and start calling names beginning with the letter V. Then she called Marguerite Vincent, who's a nice little old lady, and she immediately began telling her all about the neat offers that the complete carpet cleaning service in Oklahoma City had to offer, and then all of a sudden, Marguerite Vincent stopped breathing. She started slurring her words and saying crazy things. So immediately, Suanna Jones called 911 and her buddy, Linda Esham, who was sitting at the phone telemarketing right next to her, who was her fellow co-worker, and who also had training as an x-ray and lab technologist, took over the call, and ambulance workers showed up and took her to the hospital, where she wound up being just fine. The next time you get those unwelcome calls from telemarketers, just remember, they could save your life. This message has been brought to you by the friendly staff at WAIF and the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show.
What the hell was that all about?
It was a little public service announcement. You should be kind to your telemarketer next time they call. Whether it's carpet cleaning or magazine subscriptions,
all right, there's a grill
just donating a little bit to the alumni fund.
All right, there's a gorilla sitting behind the bar.
Tell us about this gorilla sitting
behind
the bar.
I'm not talking about the gorilla behind the bar.
Tell us about the gorilla behind the bar.
I'm not going to talk about the gorilla behind the bar.
You brought it up.
When his country's going to hell in a handbasket. You want to hear stories about gorillas behind bars? You want to hear stories about a dog walking into a bar?
Or do you want to talk about the real issues? Telemarketers who save
lives.
You want
to talk about 6-foot cockroaches that come to the door? You can't talk about any of these things when the country is going downhill like a snowball headed for hell.
There's a 6-foot-tall cockroach that comes to people's doors?
There's a 6-foot-tall cockroach that comes to people's doors. There's a gorilla that sits behind a bar. There's a dog that walks into a bar. We can't talk about any of these because the country's in such a wretched state.
But we'll get to this and much more here on tonight's program. Want to talk about the Supreme Court?
Go ahead.
The Supreme Court just rejected a very important case without comment, and I add that when the Supreme Court rejects a case without comment, that means they have nothing to say on the matter, which means they're hiding something. They're covering something up. And they rejected this case without comment, and it was an appeal by a former substitute teacher in Indiana who says he was wrongly fired for discussing religion with his students and for silently reading his Bible in class, probably while the students were taking a test and he was just sitting there monitoring it. Now, my question to you, listening public, is this. Should substitute teachers be allowed to read the Bible while they administer tests? Tests that they'd rather not be administering in the first place? And are teachers allowed to talk about religion anymore? I mean, religion is historical, isn't it? I remember being in the history class there when I was in high school and junior high and talking about the Middle Ages, and there was only one social function in the Middle Ages, and that was church. That's all those guys did back in the, 1200s, is hang out at church. That's all they did. They ate a lot of potluck dinners and played a lot of bingo. That's all they did in the 1200s. Why can't we teach this in school anymore?
I don't know, Chris. Why not? Why can't we? You'll have to forgive me. I have a tongue nodule.
What's wrong with your tongue nodule?
I got a tongue nodule.
What's a tongue nodule?
I don't know. You get those little white growths on the side of your tongue?
Oh, those are gross.
No, I got a tongue nodule.
Oh, God. Can you put your tongue upside down in your mouth like that?
You know what
I think
caused it?
What?
Teriyaki chicken.
That was mighty good teriyaki chicken tonight.
You didn't have that. You had the Cajun.
Well, I saw you eating that. I saw that teriyaki dripping all over your chin.
Yeah, well, there's something. We were
like a yum.
Some yuppie crap hole that you dragged me to in Mount Lookout. You ran a red light. And I said, Chris, I wouldn't want to be caught dead in Mount Lookout. Yet I'm about to be caught dead in Mount Lookout. And then I go to eat this teriyaki chicken. And the acidic nature of the chicken,
you only ate about half of it, the other half is still on your shirt,
melds with my natural tongue juices to produce a tongue nodule, and now I can't speak very plain. Oh my gosh.
749-1444 is the phone number at the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show. Hello, Dewey, you're on the air.
Good evening.
Hi, Dewey, how's it going?
Well, let me tell you this. Was that interview with the same Buddy Hackett
that starred in the movie with Annette Funicello entitled Muscle Beach Party?
Yes.
Could be. You know, we're currently working on a sequel to that movie. Did you know that?
No.
Liv Tyler is going to be playing the lead, and I'm going to be playing the muscle man. It's going to be me and Liv Tyler. Sandra Bullock is going to be in it, and Rob's going to be her muscle man. It's going to be great.
Well, Annette Funicello at one time was my girlfriend.
Really? Were you a musketeer? Yes.
Every man of the 50s loved Annette Funicello. She was the best looking broad in the United States in those years.
I know. That's what I've heard. That's what Grandpa told me.
And let me make myself clear. She could whip Frankie Avalon's butt any day of the week and twice on Sunday, and he knew it, and that's why he didn't marry her.
You mean whip, like beat up, like physical violence?
You know, she would be able to throw Bobby Burgess, you know, that guy that danced on the Lawrence Welk show. She could throw him around the stage.
Nitwit, what the hell are you talking about?
I'm talking about this.
We've got real issues to confront.
No,
we got real
issue to raise.
A little nitwit goes a long way. He never went out the net Funicello. I mean, are we going to let people come on a Chris and Rob show and let them spew their lies unfiltered?
Rob, I have some bad news for you. You and I really aren't going to be in that Muscle Man movie with Liv Tyler and Sandra Bullock.
Too. What the hell is that all
about? I'm sorry.
You know better than the nitwit.
I apologize from the deepest throes of my gut, but we're not going to be making that movie with Sandra Bullock and Liv Tyler. Liv and Sandra weren't available. We're going to be making that movie with Laura Dern. We're going to get a call from New York City. Hello, Troy. Is this Troy at the Knitting Factory in New York City?
Yep, it absolutely is.
Tell us what you're up to there, baby.
I'm up to drinking some beer and hanging out at the Knitting Factory with all my friends who work here.
I understand that tonight at the Knitting Factory, Han Benek is appearing.
Yep, in the Now Chat.
Can you go get a hold of Han Benek so we can talk to him and tell everyone about the music of Han Benek and his wonderful drumming technique?
I don't know if that'd be possible. I'm all the way down here in the tap room in the basement.
Are you in the basement? What do you know about Han Benek?
Don't know much about him, really.
You want me to fill you in?
Sure.
Han Benek is a Norwegian dude, right?
Okay.
He's like from Europe. And I think he's blonde, and he's a drummer. He's probably a little older now.
He's a master drummer.
Oh, he sure is. But you know how those jazz guys are?
Uh-huh.
I mean, to them, you know, it could just be like putting a stick in both your hands, taping a couple of sticks to your feet, and just going nuts. Okay? Well, this guy does that and much more. And he usually plays with traditional jazz groups, but he extends the form of the music far beyond what you think of as traditional jazz. You follow what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do.
So instead of just going ba-doom doom da doom doom doom, I mean, it's just whacked out. It's just nuts. It's crazy. It's noise. It's far out, man.
Cool. So we talking about Tripped Out Jazz tonight?
Yeah, so can you walk upstairs and find Han Benek and give us a call back or something? I want to interview Han. You're at the Knitting Factory. You're in New York City. You're down there in the village. What do they call it? Greenwich Village? You're probably high, too.
It's called, like, Tribeca.
Tribeca?
Soho, isn't it?
When did they start calling it Tribeca? It was always the village, wasn't it?
Knitting Factory not in the village, dude. We're like, way downtown.
Down on Houston Street, right?
Way past Broadway and Leonard.
Okay, so anyway, wherever the heck you are, you're in New York City, in the village.
On Wall Street.
You're drinking black coffee and smoking clove cigarettes. Hanging out at a freaked out jazz bar saying right on, man, to all your friends. Walk upstairs, find the drummer, his name is Han Benek, get him on the phone. Can you do that for me?
No, dude, he's in the middle of a set.
Is he playing? Well, can you walk the phone up there so we can hear a little bit of it? People in Cincinnati don't get to hear that kind of whacked out music very often.
New York's not that much in the future, man. We don't got, like, cordless, like, payphones here. Not yet.
I can hear the crowd in the background. So what's going on in New York City tonight?
Nothing much, man. We played last night at the Continental.
You're in a band called Shoot the Gift.
Oh, absolutely correct.
Currently on tour.
That's right.
Tell us a little bit about Shoot the Gift.
Shoot the Gift?
Yeah.
Five lovable punk rock guys from Cincinnati.
You guys are a punk rock band?
Playing their music.
If you're a punk rock band, you probably got tattoos and pierced ears and pierced noses and pierced belly buttons.
Yep,
and
we blend right in here in New York.
You guys probably party a lot too, right?
Hell yeah.
Do you guys bleed on stage?
No, not recently.
Okay, so you guys go to New York and play punk rock shows. Now you're hanging out at a swanky avant-garde jazz club.
That's correct. All of our friends work here that we're staying with.
Really? Well, let's talk to somebody who lives and breathes New York air. Somebody maybe...
The only victim I can see here is Pat. But he's from Cincinnati, but like he's like been living here for a long time. He's practically a New Yorker.
What's a beer cost at the bar in New York City?
I don't even know, dude, because...
Bottle of Rolling Rock.
Everyone who I'm with works here. We're getting paid. We're getting drinking for free.
You know? Are you?
Yeah.
Ask somebody, what's a Rolling Rock going for?
I don't know. I think our pitchers at half price were $8 with tip.
$8 for a half a pitcher of beer?
No, half price pitcher. So $16 with tip.
$16 plus tip for a pitcher of beer.
Yeah.
Comment, Rob?
Pretty expensive, Chris.
That's expensive brew.
Hey, you gotta pay. It's a high price for culture.
Uh-huh. Speaking of culture, you're not gonna let us talk to a real New Yorker?
No. There's none within sighting distance. Have you been to the Nitty Factory, fuck?
Have I?
Yeah, I'm down in the basement. I'm
yeah, I was in the Knitting Factory right about six years ago. I was there about 6 years ago, spent about 2 hours in the bar, had a couple of drinks, saw some freaky, whacked-out jazz group. And
I know. No, that's what I was doing.
Came back to Ohio.
I just wanted to come down and give you guys a shout out.
Okay.
From New York City.
Okay, but if we can't talk to a real-life New Yorker, what good are you for?
No, I think... Nope, no one's back in this little alcove yet. Just the Cincinnati people.
So, you're having a lot of fun. You go to New York to experience new places, new things, and new people, and you're hanging out with a bunch of dorks from Ohio.
Somewhat. We saw our friend Jeremy. He brought his friend Claudia, who was going to school at Columbia, out. Mm-hmm. Totally bumped into him.
Wow.
He's
unbelievable.
Out with us now.
It's a small world, isn't it?
Yeah. I don't know. We've been staying down on Fifth Street. It's a squat between Avenues B and C.
Now, what is a squat? Define a squat to our upscale Hyde Park-type Cincinnati listening public.
Okay, well, you got about a five-story apartment building that had, like, I don't know, 30 apartment units in it. It's been abandoned for 15 years by the city. Basically, I don't know, it's like homesteading in the city, except that they don't really get to keep the building, and if the cops want to fucking throw them out, they can.
No electricity, no running water?
We got electric and phones, that's it. There's no running water, and we got a key to the fire hydrant that someone welded up.
Really?
Yeah.
That's the closest you can get to a shower, huh?
No, people have friends with apartments. The Knitting Factory has showers, so since half of their scrubby asses work here, they just take showers here.
Oh, well, good.
Bad.
How was the drive out to New York? Did you get a speeding ticket in Pennsylvania?
Our good friend Victor Valentino got a speeding ticket through Pennsylvania, doing 13 miles an hour over the speed limit.
I hear that happens on the Pike a lot.
Yeah, here's Victor, blue hair, dreadlocks, high as hell.
A regular punk rocker.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the Patsy Cline that's on his forearm, his new tattoo he's got, it's all scabbing up, and he gets pulled over by a Pennsylvania trooper.
Wow.
But luckily, the guy was kind of cool and tried to relate to his nose piercing and this and that, and, you know, we didn't get searched for nothing.
Well, good.
Which is a good thing because we brought hella much weed to smoke with Murphy's Law when we played with them, so that's a good thing. Because then we would have like been going out there broke and weedless. And then what's the point?
You guys are miscreants, man. You guys are totally miscreants.
That's who we play with in New Jersey, Murphy's Law.
And did you play with the miscreants?
Nope, we play with an awesome band called The Wives.
No, you guys are miscreants. You guys are debaucherous miscreants.
Well, of course we are.
My lord.
Victor got yelled at by some dude in the same. We met Mujibur.
Who?
From Dave.
Mujibur.
Yeah, Sergio Mujibur.
Oh, those guys from the Letterman show.
Yeah, we met one of them, and then we went two doors down to this, like, pizza place, and Victor, who we just talked about, the speed ticket, whose last name is Valentino, we stopped in this restaurant called...
And he's got blue hair.
And he tried to get some free shit because his last name was the same as the guy, and I don't know, it was an ugly scene.
You know, back in New York it may be different, but here in Ohio we have rules about swearing on the radio. I just want to let you know.
Oh, sorry. I'm kind of drunk.
That's okay.
You can't hold that against me.
That's all right. Don't fucking worry about it.
Oh,
right.
There you have it.
Okay. All right, well, thanks for your call, Troy.
Hey, I will see you when I get back tomorrow or the next day.
And your band is called Shoot the Gift, and you just played the Continental.
And Maxwell's in Hoboken, New Jersey.
Oh, boy.
It's the whole New York weekend.
Oh, my gosh.
See you back in Cincy, man.
Thanks. Have a punk rock holiday.
All right.
Bye-bye. Yeah. That was the Shoot the Gift band that guy Troy
They're
from
like
New
a,
York
a
was.
Punk rock band or something.
Yeah, that's kind of harsh stuff.
Hey, a nitwit, Chris didn't have anything to do with hanging up on you.
That's right.
Rob hung up on you.
See, Nitwit, I think you're kind of funny. Dewey, whatever you call yourself.
Chris thinks it's funny to screw with retards. I don't.
I don't think you're retarded. Misguided, yes. Retarded, no. I think you're all right. A little off-center. A little weird. But you're all right. I mean, I would never hang up on a guy like Dewey. Nitwit, whatever you call yourself. Please call back as often as you can just to make Rob mad.
And I'll hang up on you every time.
I won't let you.
Hamilton County SPCA Animal Shelter, located at 3949 Coleraine Avenue in Northside, needs volunteers for various animal programs. For example, they need a gorilla to sit behind the bar.
They
need a dog to walk into a bar. They need a 6-foot cockroach to go around knocking on doors. If you need more information...
They need a magic genie to come out of a genie lamp there in the back of the bar, too.
If you need more information, please call the SPCA at 541-6100. 541-6100. This is the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show on WAIF Cincinnati. Good gosh almighty. It seems like the whole world has turned upside down since the last time we talked.
Did it?
Yeah, I mean, there's like, you know, all kinds of stuff happened.
Like what?
Well, Newt got fined.
Good.
And reprimanded. Bill got swore in again.
I told him he shouldn't swear so much.
Bill Cosby's kid got killed.
That's sad.
Kurt Flood died.
That's, well, he had it coming.
You
know, there are those who say that Kurt Flood is the guy that ruined Major League Baseball because he started that whole unionization.
Nobody says that.
Who says
that?
People have said that.
Who says that?
I've heard people
who?
Say that. I've
Who?
Heard people.
No, you
people,
haven't.
People, I've heard
no, you
fans.
Haven't.
Fans.
No,
I've heard
haven't.
Fans.
Okay, you mean
down at the ball yard? I've been sitting down at the ball yard. There's always somebody in the front row who's always like, you know, I just hate these baseball players because they're always going on strike. That damn Kurt Flood. And I'm like, well, you know, that's just what I've heard. I'm just saying.
There's only one person
sometimes,
who's ever said that. Isn't there? Isn't there?
Somebody
isn't
down
there?
At the old ball
isn't
yard.
There? Isn't there?
But should we call him on the phone?
Yeah. Well. You think, I tell you what, Kurt Flood did not ruin baseball.
Well, then how did baseball get ruined? Who ruined it first?
How is baseball ruined? The players are making more money than ever before, and the owners are making more money than ever before. I don't think anybody involved in the game would say it's ruined.
The fans all agree. I don't know one fan that would not concur that the game is indeed ruined. Interleague play? Come on. It's a stunt to get us back after our hearts have been broken? Give me a break.
You don't deserve one. The whole world's turned upside down in this 1 week.
If you'd like to discuss these and any other issues, the phone number would be 749-1444. This is the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show. Like I said, 749-1444. We were talking about Africa a little while ago and wild game. Another word for vicious animals.
He's not going to bring up tigers now. I know he's not going to bring up tigers now because we all know tigers are from India and Asia.
But they got
China.
Them in Africa, too.
And they're not. No, there are no tigers in Africa. Every school child knows that.
But
therefore,
I
know Chris is not going to bring up
what I was
tigers now after discussing Africa because they don't really go together at all.
But yes, they do because Africa has wild animals.
That's like saying
wild animals are like lions and antelope and stuff.
You know, that's
and tigers are also wild animals, and tigers are from India, whatever. But
that's like saying, you know, we were discussing Scottish cuisine a while ago. Let me bring up pizza. It has nothing to do with it, Chris. It's totally unrelated.
But this is the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show, and here we can do whatever we want. We can bend the rules.
We can relocate tigers.
That's right. Have you heard of Siegfried and Roy?
Everybody's heard of Siegfried. Now listen, here's the deal with the white tigers. White tigers are a mutation. They are an unfortunate mutation because tigers are stealthy creatures. They rely on their speed and their camouflage to track down their prey. Now, when you're white, when you're a bright, glowing white, like a white tiger you see in the Cincinnati Zoo or in the Siegfried Roy Act, what in the hell chance do you have of tracking down prey when you're out in the woods glowing like some sort of nightlight? You have none. The white tiger gene is a gene of weakness and should try to be bred out of the species not encouraged, but because we humans think that these mutant freak weirdo white tigers are pretty.
Ooh, look at the white tiger, he's so pretty.
We breed this weak characteristic into the species. Are you following me on that?
Vaguely. I was just going to say, while you're talking about the world being turned upside down, and I'm tying vicious animals into it, Siegfried and Roy, their white tigers run at each other, and the one named Baroda
killed Nirvana.
Killed Nirvana, his mate, and now there's only one tiger left. In front of a paying audience.
This is at the Mirage, about 70 people. And
I've never been to the Mirage Hotel in Las Vegas.
You haven't lived.
I guess not.
But I saw the black-haired one. I don't know if that's Siegfried or Roy. They had like some two-year-old footage of him on, you know, like extra hard copy or something. And the question was put to Mr. Roy, I think it was, about 2 years ago. What do you have to take into account when you get these big giant wild animals together? And he said,
you know, the tigers are just like people. Some of them get along, but some of them do not.
Siegfried and Roy are very gay, Chris.
Whatever. We're not talking about Siegfried and Roy.
Yeah,
we're really talking about their tigers.
Oh, I knew if you knew that, it would totally change your whole approach to this story.
It's got nothing to do with anything. Tigers should have ate them.
The tigers are together because some of them don't like people. They don't like people. They don't like each other.
I don't know where Siegfried and Roy are all about. But they put on a damn good show, though.
I guess so.
I haven't seen it. It's really expensive. I didn't go. Whew. So that's your big African safari news, is that a tiger in Vegas ate another tiger in Vegas?
I guess that's about it.
That's your African safari news?
I guess that's about
Vegas it. Vegas tiger scrapped.
Yeah. Well, here's something kind of weird.
You know what's weird?
What?
Are those little kitty beauty pageants.
Those are weird.
Is it weird?
Those are weird.
Is it weird to get a stiffy? Well, looking at that? I mean,
I don't know about you.
I didn't ask if you did. I'm just saying, is it weird? The whole point
somebody
is...
Somebody does that, yes, that's weird.
The whole point is they try to make the little kids as grown up and as adult as possible. Thus, the natural extension of making someone look as grown up and adult as possible would be the natural extension. That's the natural extension of that argument. If you follow my drift.
Obviously, we're referring to the little girl in Colorado that got murdered by some
not just
freaky pervert. But how commonplace is this, like, little kid modeling thing? Because
I don't
weird.
Know. That was weird. I mean, they had...
What kind of a parent would do that anyway?
They had tons of makeup on them, and they put them in these little cowgirl dresses, and they say, go shake your ass, and what the hell is it? She's, like, five. That was just twisted,
very
man.
Very weird.
And she's not, you know, by far is she the... I mean, there has to be people she was competing against. I mean, do they have those things around here? Can you go dress up your four-year-old to look like a Atlantic City hooker on Cincinnati? Do they have that kind of stuff?
Weird.
That was weird. That was very deeply weird. That was deeply weird, man. That was, ooh, you know what that was?
What?
Deeply weird.
Well, something else that's weird. Deeply weird, you know that Edgar Allan Poe has a birthday once a year.
And every year this guy comes out.
A tall, dark, unknown stranger.
That's the telltale heart.
Right. I like it. The stranger comes up to Edgar Allan Poe's grave every year in Baltimore and places three red roses and a bottle of cognac on